welcome. Today I have a friend with me, Jennifer Nathanson, who I met in the Nurtured Heart world. And I'm so excited because Jennifer agreed to come share a little bit of her journey and her story of how she got to where she is today. So Jennifer, if you don't mind taking a minute, can you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into the backstory.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Musi, for having me. I feel really honored to have this opportunity to talk with you and to share with folks about Nurtured Heart and about my journey, because I love talking everything Nurtured Heart. And so I hold many roles, as we all do, and parenting is, I would say, my number one role, I feel like, at this time in life. And through parenting, I have come to Nurtured Heart, and I, you know, went through the CTI. So I am an advanced trainer in the Nurtured Heart approach. I'm sharing that with other people. That's one of my two businesses. And then my other business is that I'm a nurse practitioner and have been trained and studying functional medicine for, I don't know, the last 10-ish years, and am offering that as well. So I and feel pretty passionate about both of them. But I do have to say, I absolutely love talking and sharing about Nurtured Heart. It's probably the funnest thing to talk about.
I agree. And for those of you watching this, Jennifer puts out a lot of content on social media too, which we'll talk about at the end, how to find her. But always some great tidbits for inspiration on social media as well.
Thanks,
so walk us through, Jennifer, before you knew the Nurtured Heart approach, kind of like, you know, the bad old days, where you were, that kind of led you to this passion.
I have three children, just like a lot of people are brought to Nurtured Heart, is through my children. And one of my three children is a particularly intense kiddo. He has had some challenging behaviors that I initially looked more towards medicine for, to look for answers. I guess at the same time, I also was looking at parenting. I mean, I did a lot of research. I read a lot of books. I know a lot of people have gone through that same path of reading books, just trying to find the answers of the right parenting approach that's going to help me feel more confident and help hopefully alleviate some of the stress in the family and in our lives. And I even worked with a couple different parenting coaches one-on-one. And I think they're great approaches. And if I had just had my one daughter, who is kind of, I don't want to say typical, but easy, you know, to parent, those would have been fine. But then with my son, they just weren't really enough. And I never felt like I was super confident or feeling really great about my parenting. And so since I was also looking at potential health causes that could be, or, you know, things that could be contributing to his well-being and how he just felt internally, I was working with an integrative pediatrician at the time and said very honestly to him, undoubtedly, there's something about the way that my husband and I are parenting that probably is impacting how he's feeling and how he's behaving. And he's the one, it was that pediatrician who said, I want you to try this approach, and gave me the name and number of Sarah Howe. I was very lucky and blessed to work with Sarah Howe at the beginning. And so that's where I learned about Nurtured Heart. So my husband and I both worked with Sarah for, I think, 4 to 6 weeks. I don't totally remember now. And gained great insight and wisdom. And she just has a beautiful way of explaining the approach. And we had accountability with her. And this was, I think, at the beginning of the pandemic, maybe, or middle pandemic. I think at the early start. And so we were both pretty gung-ho, and I was really happy that my husband was able to do it with me at the time. And just like a lot of folks too, though, we did see some shifts and changes, but then we kind of lost some momentum over time and went back to our old habits of parenting, and definitely saw an increase in behaviors again. And there was one time when I, for whatever reason, maybe higher power, whatever, told me, you know, get on the Facebook page, start looking at Nurtured Heart again. And so I was on the Nurtured Heart Facebook group. And I was reading through and read Bridget Saladino's story and was so inspired by her story with her daughter, and that, you know, she had gone to a CTI and how that had really shifted things. And I knew right then and there I needed to go to a CTI. I'm definitely one of those people who learns well with immersion. I think a lot of people do. And I actually encourage that a lot with my clients that I work with. And ever since that CTI, I just felt I felt way more confident about the approach, but also very, I wanted to share it because it's been such a game changer, not just for me and my kids, but just also very personally. I feel like the CTI also gives a lot of, you know, we do a lot of coaching with ourselves through the CTI experience. So that's kind of a long answer to where it all began.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd love to hear more about this because I think, it's very relatable. This idea of like, you know, getting on the wagon, falling off the wagon, and then slowly tiptoeing our way back in. But then you went full force. You went into this like full immersion. I'd love to hear like, what were some of the ways you saw the impact, kind of like pre-CTI, post-CTI, what were some of the ways you were handling things, and why or how were they not working? And post-CTI, how did that look and how did that change?
Yeah, I think pre-going to the certified training, I can't pinpoint why my husband and I kind of stopped using Nurtured Heart consistently. I just think there was just so much going on during that time, right? Those few crazy years of COVID. And so it was just so easy to go back to what was just comfortable. And so we definitely, I mean, I do know, like I started feeling that kind of anxiety and tenseness and stress of parenting that didn't feel so good. And that's why, you know, I went to looking at the Facebook group. Excuse me. I think because, you know, in CTI, it teaches us the approach again, for sure. But I feel like there's such a focus on using it with ourselves that once I came out of it, I just felt way more confident in how to use a tool to get myself feeling good about myself in the moment. I don't know if that's the right way to explain it, but using like a Sarah to help myself if I was not feeling so great about things or kind of feeling cranky or feeling like maybe I needed to do things differently, I could do a Sarah and get back to a space of feeling really confident, feeling really good about myself, and knowing that I could move forward from that space instead of being stuck in this like cranky spot, if that makes sense. And yeah, so it's just, I think overall, it's built this amount of confidence. So I feel like that, and that hasn't gone away. Like there might be times when I'll slack off on using the approach a little bit within my family, with my kids. And I'll start feeling that energetic shift, because I'm sure you feel that too, Moosey. Like, I feel like I am the energy stabilizer or destabilizer within our home. And if I'm getting off balance, then the whole house gets off balance. And so I have the knowing now, like I know how to get back on track. I know, oh, this just means I need to be doing more recognitions with my kids and with myself. I also need to stop giving energy to negativity with my kids and with myself. So I have like this foundation, you know, these ground rules and tools and things to use to get myself back into balance, which only helps with the whole household.
It almost sounds like I'm thinking of like a roller coaster ride repair team. Like, you know how to ride the roller coaster. It's all set up to work. But then when the roller coaster breaks down, then what? If there's no repair team, then the roller coaster will stop driving. So it's like learning with Sarah Howe was that building the roller coaster that works.
Yes.
Like, I know how to do this now. I know what to do. I know how to help my son. I know how to parent this kid. But then the roller coaster broke down and it was like, oh, well, that's it. You know, but like the CTI gave you this repair kit of like, yes. Okay, so if I'm feeling like we're falling off the roller coaster, if I'm feeling like we're up at the top or down at the bottom and I can't keep going, I know yes. that I can then turn inwards and I can say, I can do Sarah, I can inner wealth coach myself, I can work on my own reset so that I'm back aligned with what I know works, with what I know is meaningful to me, and like step back into it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that an example of that, which is kind of simple, is I had COVID a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. And I mean, COVID is kind of like the joy sucker of life. I feel like it just kind of sucks the joy of life in general. I wasn't in any space to be giving recognitions to anyone, even myself. I was having a hard time. But I did have the wherewithal to know that I needed to reset regularly. So I wasn't able to use the whole approach, but I had a tool to reset regularly, to not be energizing the negativity, because I wasn't on par, like there was a little more activity going on, a little more energy going on in my home. And I had the wherewithal to at least be able to not energize that and continue to reset myself. So it's like, yeah, having a repair kit, having these tools, I like to think of them as they're foundational at this point. And being always able to come back to them and use them again and again at whatever capacity is kind of needed for the time. I mean, there's sometimes when things are going just fine and I don't necessarily have to be on my recognition game, you know? And then there's other times when I am really intentional about it because it's clear that everybody could use a little more recognizing right now. Yeah. Do you do that too? Like, do you have that sense in your home as well? Especially that energizing piece.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's an energy-based approach. It's so about being attuned. It's so about checking sticking the thermometer in like relationship and inner wealth and like seeing how we're doing. And we talk about how Howard talks about WMDs, the worry, miseries, and doubts, that they're an indication.
Yeah.
That I need to reset and come back. And I want to use that reminder as an opportunity to notch it up. And that's exactly what it is. When things are kind of smooth sailing, you know, it's all good. We kind of get comfortable, but the kids let us know. We need more. We need you back on your game. It's like, oh, okay. And I love that. I love that negativity is not a reason to be fearful. It's a reason to be confident. It's like, okay, I know how to do this. Right?
Yeah.
I love in general, like it's almost like the switch, because you had these tools, I'm assuming, when you learned with Sarah as well. But like, what's the defining switch of after the CTI and before the CTI? It's almost permission because tell me if I'm right or wrong, but this is for me. Really getting into Nurtured Heart for me, starting to live the approach and be the approach we talk about through that inner work, was permission for me to apply it in a way that it wasn't no longer about perfection. It was no longer about doing the whole thing. Like if all or nothing doesn't exist, it's all the approach. Not doing the approach when you can't do the approach and not judging yourself for that is the approach. You know, like it's all part of it. And so that letting go of that kind of shame-based existence or guilt-based existence of I have to.
Yeah.
Allows me to stay with the approach when I can't do the approach.
Yeah. 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 I would agree. Definitely. I think that, yes, that's a good way of saying kind of what the difference is after CTI is because we learn these tools to do coaching with ourselves, the Inner Wealth Coaching and the Sarah's, it's like, I would regularly, I made an intention then, like on my way to school, you know, I have three kids at three different schools. And so I was dropping off kids at three different schools. And that in and of itself was quite an accomplishment each morning. And so I would do a Sarah every time I finally got the last kid dropped off, just because by the time, sometimes, not every morning, but some mornings, many mornings, it didn't always feel super graceful and great. And, but it still was a huge accomplishment. And so I would have this way of coaching myself through to feeling, oh yeah, I did all of these things and I accomplished all this stuff this morning. And I, you know, I'm showing the greatness of resiliency or blah, blah, you know, whatever it is, and get myself back to feeling capable and calm and good, which I mean, I don't know who else wants to feel that way, but I do. A lot of the times I really want to feel that way because it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is really deep what we're touching on. I feel like this is a very deep concept of where when negativity matters and negativity is the way we judge or we map out the needs and the next moves of our parenting based on the negativity, based on the problems, based on where we're weak. Then when my parenting approach isn't working or the negativity comes up again, it makes me put that parenting approach down or give up on my kids or give up on myself because it's not working because I failed. But if negativity is not in the equation,
yeah,
if A plus B doesn't equal C or does equal C, however we're using that equation, but it's not like, oh, there's negativity here. So that means I'm failing. So that means I should do something else. Instead, I'm not really allowing the negativity to take up place in my diagnosis of my parenting. It doesn't, it's just, I expect it to be there. I'm okay with it. And the way that I'm deciding how I'm moving forward, the way that I'm planning my next move is based on evidence of greatness. So I'm, oh, there's negativity here. Oh, interesting, but I'm busy. Actually, where's the greatness, right? Where's the nearest greatness? Is it in me? Is it the self-coaching I'm doing? Is it in someone else? What's going right here? Allowing myself to take that pause to reset long enough to find whatever is going right or to be open enough to find whatever is going right. And then I'm planning my next move. Oh, wow, I'm really good at parenting. Or, oh, wow, this my kid is actually being successful at life. Look at his this or look at his that.
Yeah.
It's a snowball effect of positivity where then I have evidence that I'm actually being successful and that the approach I picked is working and that we're actually all good, which makes me feel more confident, which makes me then see more evidence of that, which makes me then more positive. And it just keeps snowballing. So it's the exact shift of the approach helps me stay with the approach.
Yeah.
Because the negativity isn't allowed to have a say in my definition or in my plan.
Yeah.
Besides for just resetting and getting past it. Not looking at it.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that explains a lot probably why, like for myself, and I know for a lot of other parents, that happens. Like we might look at an approach and think, oh, I love, like I'm really resonating with this. This is really going to work. And yet then something happens and we focus more on, oh, it's not working. This approach isn't working. I'm not going to stick with it. I'm just going to, you know, fly by the seat of my pants more. And yeah, there's by having the tools of Inner Wealth Coaching or using Sarah's, however you want to talk about it, then we know how to not be stuck on focusing on that negativity. And we know how to be looking at what's going well.
Right. We have that repair kit. We know how to then come back full circle to the beginning and keep cycling on. And that's why it's such a reality-based approach and works with reality, because in reality, you are going to go up and down. In reality, you are going to break down. In reality, you're not going to be on your A game all the time. You're not going to be able to give your recognitions or remember them or have anything good to say or have anything good to see. You're going to have COVID sometimes, you know, it's going to happen. And that's why this actually stays and works, because there's no expectation. There's no expectation to have to always be great.
Yeah.
We are enough.
Yeah.
We are beautiful, and we have the tools to know that and see that. because of the way we're training our brains to think and define and judge.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no perfection expected. Yeah.
It's such a relief to not have to break down what went wrong and why it went wrong. And what did I damage in my kids that I yelled at this morning? And why did I yell? And what's wrong with my life? And how do I have to change it? And what's wrong with me? And what's wrong with them? And spending all this time, like, just really psychoanalyzing every detail of my parenting and my kids and myself. I don't have to do that anymore because that's not the process anymore. The process in, oh, negativity, let's figure it out and find a solution. It's, oh, negativity. Oh, okay, let's reset and come back to greatness.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? We can do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other reason that kind of, that I also really connect with Nurtured Heart is by also being a provider, you know, being in healthcare, I'm really, really familiar with what you just shared, that like that negativity spiral, what that does to our bodies, right? Like that stress, that negative spiral thinking is stress. We release stress hormones with that type of thinking just as much as we do with bigger, you know, stressors. And they're more pervasive, right? They're happening day in and day out. And I think that was like, once I started feeling the freedom of not having that at the end of the day or throughout the day, I mean, that's been such a huge game changer. And I think that a lot of people don't, we always think about the bigger stressors, you know, divorce or death or a loss of a job or whatever, which are huge stressors and do create a lot of shifts and can cause issues within our body and our health. But it's also the little day-to-day self-talk that does it too, if not even more, because it's unending. It's all the time, you know, it can be for some people all the time. And that's, and it's huge to not have that going on is such a gift and a blessing. I feel so grateful for that every single day. I am so grateful for that.
Yeah. It's so powerful to be able to not have to be a good parent anymore. It's like, because I don't have to get it right, therefore I can. I am getting it so much more right now that I don't have to. I don't have to analyze whether I am or I'm not. I don't have to analyze exactly, you know, what response I should give or could give. I'm not holding myself to that standard. And so now I actually am a much better parent.
Yeah. 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 It's like this way to really give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So beautiful. Yeah. So Jennifer, if somebody would like to work with you or hear more from you, how would they go about trying to make that happen? And what can they expect?
Oh, thanks. So my website's probably the easiest way to be in contact with me. It's just jennifernathanson.com. I'm also on Instagram. I think it's my name as well. And I'm on Facebook. So they can follow me there. I usually start by just doing a 20-minute call to share more about Nurtured Heart, to hear about their story and see if it feels like a good fit. And then move forward from there.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story and your wisdom and your depth. And I guess if there's one thing I'm going to take away from this, it's that I don't have to hold myself to any standard. And it's still doing the approach. If I can just be where I am and bring myself baby step by baby step back to where I want to continue going.
Love it. Thank you, Moosey. Yeah.